Can I make a motion to approve the Salinas stormwater permit?
The motion's been made. Do I have a second? Mr. Delgado seconded it. Okay. All right.
I would note the representatives from the city of Salinas were nodding their heads yes.
So, can you do that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
There are comment letters that would need to be heard, but if you really, or comment cards, thank you, commenters, but you could do that.
We do have, is this what we have?
Yes.
Okay.
You guys don't want me to present, do you?
No, I actually like listening to you, Jennifer.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But we were completely in jest.
I understand that.
I have some questions from the staff.
Okay, let's, Jennifer can summarize what's happened since our last board meeting with this item and where we are today.
Yeah, and we have kept it fairly brief. I'm only about 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
So. Is that okay?
More than 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Should I go ahead and begin?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, Chairman Young and members of the board. I am Jennifer Epp, an engineer in the stormwater unit, and I'm here with a continuation of the February hearing for the City of Salinas Municipal Stormwater Permit. There's a couple of logistical items that I'll go through here. Executive Officer Briggs received a comment from the board asking if attachment 2C in the agenda package did contain all of the city's comments, and the answer to that question is yes. The entire permit isn't in there because the city didn't make comments on the entire permit. The sections that they made comments on, we put in there and we included their comments, and so that is complete, and that was a good question. The other logistical items is that you should have two supplemental sheets. The first one, which is supplemental number one, it contains a letter from the City of Salinas, as well as an update to the monitoring data website. Supplemental two contains a minor revision to the fact sheet based on a comment from US EPA. And then I also provided a corrected supplemental number two, which you should have received just this morning, which corrected a couple of references. The page number and the paragraph numbers were incorrect. Want to make sure everyone had all of that. And another logistical item is that we also received a comment letter early this morning from an attorney representing a farm near Salinas. And in my cursory review, it appears that they're concerned about a potential erosion issue with a farm that has property nearby a nearly constructed stormwater pipe in the city of Salinas. And staff doesn't think that this letter is directly related to your decision today and recommends that we deal with this as a separate issue. However, it is the chair's discretion on whether or not to enter this late comment letter as part of the administrative record or not.
Mr. Chair, you're being asked.
So, Chairman Young?
About a late letter.
Ask me again.
We received early this morning a comment letter that someone asked to add to the administrative record for this permit. It's not necessarily completely relevant to our topic. It has to do with a concern that they have about a pipe that has been constructed that might cause some damage to a property. But it was in reference to the Salinas stormwater permit.
Does it have anything to do with this item?
Well, they ask a couple questions about the permit in the letter. So it has to do with stormwater, so.
You've read it, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh. We just got it this morning.
Let's not let it in.
Okay, and then we will follow up with this with this item, and if there's anything that needs to be taken care of, we will. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Okay, in February, you continued the hearing, and this allowed the city the opportunity to provide additional comments on the permit. It also allowed them to obtain additional clarification on the permit requirements. It allowed the city to provide us with some additional cost information, and it allowed Water Board staff and city staff to have some additional discussions and to see if we could resolve some more of the issues. We've completed those tasks, and we have resolved the majority of the issues, and so we'll be recommending that the board adopts the permit today. So with that, I will give you an overview of our presentation today. I'm going to give a brief background on the permit and the February hearing. I'm going to discuss the activities that have occurred since the February hearing. Then Tamara Presser is going to describe briefly some of the revisions that we made to the permit, and then I'll be recommending adoption. We also do have John Rohrbaugh and Phil Hammer here who will help out with questions if needed. So a brief recap of some background information that we presented to you in February. This map shows the city of Salinas. Their permit coverage area is outlined in black here. A couple of items that we'll talk about today include the future growth area, which is predominantly here, and this Salinas River outfall, which is down here. Stormwater in the city of Salinas flows through various water bodies into Monterey Bay, either directly or through Moss Landing Harbor. Elkhorn Slough is also influenced by stormwater in the city of Salinas because pollutants that end up in Moss Landing Harbor with tidal influences do get into Elkhorn Slough.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Just one more time. I was curious about the location of the Salinas River outfall, and if you could show me where it hooks in with the Salinas River.
Okay. It is... The bottom one's the laser. So this is the Salinas River outfall, and the Salinas River is here.
Thank you.
So there's a pipe that runs from a city pump station that's approximately here down to the Salinas River.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Great. Okay, I'll provide a brief history of the permit renewal. The permit development phase began in August of 2009 when we began asking the city for input on the new permit. During this phase, we had many discussions with the city of Salinas, and in August of 2011, we released a draft permit. We entered the revision phase with a public comment period where we held three public workshops and had many more discussions with the city. We redrafted the permit based on comments we received, and at the February hearing, we proposed adoption of the draft permit. During the hearing, you heard from staff as well as the city and from several stakeholders. And after the February hearing, we again made revisions to the permit based on the comments that we heard. And those revisions are reflected in the third draft permit that we have to you and we are presenting today. Next, I'll provide some more detail on the activities since the February hearing. In February, you voted to continue the hearing. During the time since the hearing, the city submitted proposed revisions as well as cost information on the permit. We then had 9 different discussions with city staff to go over their comments, and these discussions were very productive. We appreciate the good dialogue and the hard work that the city performed during this time. During these discussions, Water Board staff increased our understanding of the city's comments, and city staff increased their understanding of the permit requirements. We were able to resolve many of the comments simply by providing additional information. For other areas, we were able to make modifications to the permit where we could continue to protect water quality in a manner that worked better for the city. I'm very pleased that we've worked together well, and we have resolved nearly all of the city's issues. We were not able to completely resolve all of the issues. The remaining issues that remain unresolved include the monitoring program and the overall cost of implementing the permit. The city continues to have concerns about the overall increased program costs, as well as the relevance, fairness, and cost of the monitoring requirements. However, city staff has indicated they're willing to move forward with the permit. Next, I'll turn it over to Tamara Presser, who will provide an overview of the changes to the permit that we made since the February hearing.
Thank you, Jennifer. So good evening, everyone. I'm going to go over the changes we've made to the permit. We made changes in response to the February meeting. We also made changes in response to city written comments and discussions we've had with the city since the February meeting. You can find a comprehensive list of the modifications we made to the permit in the staff report. When you look at attachment 3 of the staff report, it may look like we've made numerous changes to the permit, especially to the development requirements. However, the permit still provides a similar level of water quality protection as the previous draft. We made general modifications to provide more flexibility, extend some deadlines, and clarify some requirements. We also made more specific modifications. I'm going to highlight a few representative changes we made in response to issues raised by the city. I will go through these in the order they occur in the permit, starting with the municipal maintenance section. City staff provided a high cost estimate for Salinas River outfall monitoring. In response to this, we discussed with the city their assumptions that went into the estimate. We revised the permit language to clarify Salinas River outfall monitoring expectations. Our expectation is for the city to develop a monitoring program that can demonstrate pollutant load reduction. The next couple slides are related to modifications to the new and redevelopment requirements. City staff explained it would be inefficient to modify their stormwater development standards multiple times. In response to this, we modified the permit so the city only has to modify its development standards once instead of twice during this next permit cycle. To provide sufficient water quality protection in the interim, before the development standards are updated, the permit now requires the city to do two things. First, develop a guidance document to identify which sections of the development standards are requirements versus guidance. And the purpose of this is to ensure that development standards are appropriately applied to applicable projects. And then second, the permit requires the city to implement future growth area requirements. The previous draft of the permit required the city to incorporate revised criteria into the development standards shortly after the permit adoption. And the permit now requires the city to apply this interim criteria just to future growth area projects instead of updating the development standards. This is to ensure the future growth area is developed in a way that's protective of water quality. City staff has told us they have the authority to apply this interim criteria to future growth area projects and that they're willing to do this. You might remember at the February meeting, we talked about how turf can be a high source of pollutants. The previous draft of the permit required projects that create and or replace turf surface to adhere to the long-term treatment criteria. City staff explained that in some situations, it could be challenging to incorporate best management practices to meet the treatment criteria when turf is replaced. In response to this, we changed the applicability thresholds to only trigger turf requirements or the treatment requirements when turf is created, but not when it is replaced. Both the Water Board and City have mentioned that requirements may hinder infill and redevelopment projects. City staff specifically requested we expand the options for alternative compliance for infill and redevelopment projects. In response to the city's request, we included an additional option for infill and redevelopment projects to be able to conduct off-site compliance in the near vicinity of the project. This applies if off-site controls would be more effective than on-site controls. We also modified the permit to allow the city to revise the alternative compliance options based on the Central Coast Joint Effort for Hydro Modification Control. We provided an update on the joint effort at the last meeting in March. The draft joint effort requirements currently address infill and redevelopment in the alternative compliance element. The main purpose of the joint effort is to develop reasonable and effective requirements for new and redevelopment. Therefore, the joint effort is the appropriate avenue for addressing the issue of suitable requirements for infill and redevelopment. As board members have pointed out at recent meetings, there are environmental benefits of infill and redevelopment compared to greenfield development. The joint effort will account for this. We don't have to resolve the issue of identifying the appropriate long-term requirements for infill and redevelopment today because the joint effort will resolve this issue. The joint effort criteria will be vetted through a stakeholder process, and then we will present the draft criteria to the board for approval. In the interim period, before the joint effort criteria are adopted, which could be as short as 9 months, this permit includes multiple mechanisms to ensure the short-term requirements do not deter infill and redevelopment. The permit includes alternative compliance options for infill and redevelopment projects, including options to conduct off-site projects and the option to pay an in-lieu fee towards a city-managed project. And at the February meeting, we added language to allow for a sliding scale for in-lieu fees, so the city can choose to have a different fee structure for infill and redevelopment projects that provide additional environmental and social benefit, such as low-income and senior housing. Moving on to the public education section of the permit. The city commented that the permit requirement for the city to have a public advisory group could limit the city's ability to engage the broad public. A public advisory group could be interpreted to be a narrow group that was hand-selected. In response to this, we revised permit language to require a public involvement process instead of a public advisory group. In the monitoring and effectiveness section of the permit, the city commented that the monitoring program might not inform overall program effectiveness. The city suggested more meaningful data could be obtained by comparing upstream and downstream water quality data. In response to this input, we made the following modifications. We added a requirement to conduct upstream water quality monitoring for a few pollutants of concern, and we reduced the toxicity monitoring frequency, which will reduce monitoring costs but still be effective. We worked with the city on all of the issues I just reviewed. We resolved all of these issues through discussions with the city and by making the modifications I discussed. With the changes we made, the permit still meets the maximum extent practicable standard. I'm now going to turn it over to Jennifer, and she's going to wrap up our presentation.
In conclusion, I'll summarize some overall key points. Revising the City of Salinas' municipal stormwater permit is important for protecting future and current stormwater quality and for protecting beneficial uses in the Central Coast region. The city's current permit expired in 2010 and does not meet the maximum extent practicable standard. We need to make the city's permit as protective as other Phase 1 permits in the state. We've undergone an extensive process working with the city and other stakeholders, and we have made significant changes to the permit in response to those comments. We've worked together with the city staff since February, and we have succeeded in resolving the majority of the city's issues. City staff has expressed a willingness to move forward with the implementation of the draft permit. We recommend the board adopt the City of Salinas Municipal Stormwater Permit today, including the minor change in supplemental sheet number 1. Thank you for your time, and with that, we'll take any questions.
Any board questions? Mr. Jeffries.
I do have, first of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Peterson and his staff. I think they did a fantastic job, as well as our staff. This order is a lot different than what we saw in February. There's no question about that. And being a resident of Salinas, I understand the financial implications of an order like this and the impacts that would happen on the city, and I sympathize with them because I know the financial situation. My question is, I actually have two. One is on trash, and the second one is on monitoring. And the trash, and I've read this a couple of times on talking about trash pickups within city properties, but what happens is the trash winds up in Moss Landing Harbor, and it's been proven that it's flowing from the City of Salinas because we're getting styrofoam cups, we get paper, we get miscellaneous type of things which come from residential units. So that is a concern, and I understand that the City of Salinas does not have control of the
Reclamation ditch?
The reclamation, thank you. The reclamation ditch. But the reclamation ditch does flow through the City of Salinas as well as Santa Rita Creek, mm-hmm. as well as El Gavilan Creek that flows into Carr Lake and so forth. So I would hope, and I'm asking the city staff to make sure that they set up a program to reduce that. And I see they talk about it, but I want to see the evidence of that, that Moss Landing does not wind up with the end results. My next question is, how many monitoring locations do we have? Our last time that we had this order, and then I was on this board, there was a lot of discussion from the staff, and Mr. Peterson wasn't involved in that, but what it wound up is that we required them, because their contention was that the pollutions were coming from agricultural lands, flowing into the city of Salinas. And they were saying that they weren't adding to the pollution. So we required, if I remember correctly, we required monitoring locations of all the waterways that entered the city of Salinas, as well as the reclamation ditch and any waterways that flowed out. Do we still have those monitoring locations?
Would it be useful? We can show you on a map where those monitoring locations are. Would you like that?
Sure.
Jennifer, over here. First, the question, though, is do we still have those stations?
We have not removed any stations since February, correct, John?
John Rohrbaugh, I'm also on the staff. All those stations are still being monitored. The upstream stations are monitored primarily by the ag program at this point and from here forward. And the map that Jennifer just put up, shoot, I'm having a hard time seeing it. I don't know about you. But the green dots represent the locations of the upstream monitoring sites. And there's a red dot on the left of the city shape that is the downstream site. Those sites are still being used,
here,
yes.
Here, correct?
Correct.
What about the Santa Rita Creek? I don't see the red dot on Santa Rita Creek.
There wasn't monitoring in Santa Rita Creek as part of the current order, and there isn't monitoring in Santa Rita Creek as part of this order either. The ag program may do monitoring in Santa Rita Creek. I'm not clear on that.
Well, I remember specifically asking because the question was that the city of Salinas had the sphere of influence of San Juan Road and the additional area that they were proposing to annex, which since they have annexed, which would be the new development area for the city of Salinas. And all the other locations were being monitored, but Santa Rita Creek. And since Salinas had the sphere of influence over Santa Rita Creek and the portion that flows through the north part of Salinas, there was no monitoring on that. And so there was supposed to be a monitoring location on the in and out of Santa Rita Creek going through this, from the sphere of influence to the out of the city limits of Salinas.
And that was a requirement that the board set on the city of Salinas at some point?
During the last approval of the last order.
Okay.
That did not get included?
It's not. I can't speak to the history. I wasn't staff at that time, but that was not part of the monitoring program for the current order as it stands today.
Okay. So we don't have anything monitoring the sphere of influence from the city of Salinas on the Santa Rita Creek. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right now, the monitoring program calls for monitoring in the reclamation ditch system, which you can see here.
Right.
It also requires monitoring at the pump station that flows to the Salinas River, so that picks up
that's
a big part of the bulk of the city, but Santa Rita Creek is not currently monitored under the municipal stormwater program.
And it should be.
Well, that may be true. We opted not to do that in an effort to reduce the overall cost of the monitoring program, the strategy being that water quality in the reclamation ditch receiving waters would tend to be representative of water quality in the Santa Rita Creek as well. And so that if the city were reducing pollutants in the reclamation ditch, system. If they were doing the same things in the areas flowing to Santa Rita Creek, we would expect to see similar reductions in pollutants in the Santa Rita Creek watershed as well.
And Mr. Jeffries, I remember the conversation about the upstream versus downstream, but I don't recall how what you understand may differ from the array that's up here.
Well, I don't see any monitoring on
Santa Rita Creek.
Santa Rita Creek.
Right, and I don't remember the specific creeks that the board ended up with.
Well, I made a very long presentation on sphere of influence and the new area of development for the city of Salinas.
Wasn't part of that Gabalon Creek, though?
Well, Santa Rita Creek flows through Santa Rita, and the staff, city staff, will know where that is because it's a concrete. It was concreted through the city years ago because of erosion problems and flooding problems in the city of Salinas. But, you know, you may be right. It may be all the other monitoring locations would be representative of the total area because that's just another section of agriculture. But I would be really concerned. I hope the city will look at the trash that flows through that Santa Rita Creek area because there is a great amount that flows through that residential area. So I won't make a big issue of adding another monitoring location because I may somewhat agree that the other monitoring locations will surely have the same effect as one more monitoring. So
okay. Thank
Dr.
you.
Hunter.
Thank you. I just want to echo and thank you, Mr. Jeffries, for bringing up the trash issue because that also is something that I read through carefully and was looking at some of the changes that were made. So here's my comment, and I'm very pleased with all the work that went on. I also want to have the same accolades that we just heard Mr. Jeffries go through, but there is an attachment C in the materials that we had to review, which is a table that shows trash generation rates based on, Los Angeles, the LA River, and Biona Creek. So I noted in that the greatest source or the greatest areas of debris were associated with commercial and industrial areas, trash pickup. So, and while I don't live in Monterey, I spend a lot of time up there, and I have often, where the reclamation ditch is around, you know, city roads, you can kind of look down on it. It is a little trash kind of corridor. So I am also hoping that there's some effort to really look at that carefully and see what can be done. Also, because of this table, and I don't need an answer today, but I hope in the reports, and maybe in the current a stormwater permit, we can take a look at, do we see the same kind of correlation with trash levels identified associated with commercial and industrial? And if so, you know, as the city has planned to kind of use its discretion to use its resources most effectively, perhaps trash could be, I can't tell from the language, perhaps trash falls in that same kind of approach that the city can take a look at what is the pattern and then target those priority areas. My personal comment on that is not only is Moss Landing Harbor the receiving area for the trash that goes downstream, but the most people are aware that there is a huge floating trash island, if you will, in the middle of the Pacific that a lot of people think is probably as big as the United States. The National Science Foundation, I trust a little more, they said it's about twice as big as Hawaii. So it's a growing area of trash that's coming from land-based sources, both from the Asian continent and from the United States and the West Coast. And it's one of our goals. Our governor, along with Washington and Oregon, have outlined marine debris and the reduction of trash coming off land into the ocean as one of our highest priorities. So thank you for incorporating and delineating what it's going to look like for Salinas, and then let's hear back in the annual report what kind of progress we're making. Thank you.
Great.
Okay. Any questions? No? Okay.
We got a motion.
Mayor Delgado? I have three speaker cards, so no motions yet.
City Plan.
No, Mr. Shimmick and David Athe. He's not with Salinas.
Well, let's finish up the questions here first.
Yeah.
All right. My first question is on page 64 of the draft order. That's section J, 4.G, point little I, point one. It regards the turf that we saw as being one of the changes, and that's page 64, 4G, where it talks about the 5,000 square feet creating and or replacing. And I think I saw in the presentation that the replacing would be deleted, left only with the creating left in place. But the text on page 64 may need a little bit more editing because it still has create and or replace.
So before the line above, so all new development and redevelopment projects that create and or replace 5,000 square feet of impervious surface, that create and or replace applied to impervious surface and turf surface.
Okay.
And so just with our wordsmithing, in order to create the least track changes we could, we reworded in such a way that it now says create and or replace 5,000 square feet or more of impervious surface and or create 5,000 square feet or more of turf surface.
Okay. So you're right, and I was just confused.
It's okay. I see how that could be confusing.
So now with that language you just read, if I'm doing a redevelopment project and I have concrete or some other impervious surface, and if I create turf, am I disincentivized to create turf to replace my hard stand by this language? Do I get penalized? So if I have 5,000 feet of concrete, uh-huh, and I want to create turf, which would be more impervious, do I get dinged because I'm creating turf?
The way this is written, I think if you were to remove 5,000 square feet of concrete and replace it with 5,000 square feet of turf, yes, it would trigger these requirements.
Right. So by removing the concrete and creating turf, mm-hmm, I'm helping everything that we want to help. And so is there some way that...
And this is just for the treatment requirements. And so concrete, runoff off concrete can transport pollutants, but then runoff off of turf surfaces is also, there's also the potential to transport pollutants.
But a little bit less because it absorbs some
absorption. So
we want to motivate replacement of hard stand with turf where possible, right? Because it's more pervious and less runoff.
Correct, but there's other pollutants associated with turf.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If I can clarify something,
mm-hmm,
you're talking about instead of if you had to replace 5,000 square feet of impervious surface, and you decided instead of replacing it with impervious surface, you replace it with turf, and you're thinking that they're at a disadvantage in that case, correct?
Yeah.
The way this language is, if they were going to replace 5,000 square feet of impervious surface anyway with impervious surface, they still have to do these treatment requirements. So it's not really it doesn't harm them. It just puts that on equal footing.
Okay. Thank you. The only other thing I want to say is I get that both staffs worked really hard over the last several months. I really appreciate that. The tenor of the city letter in our report today compared to the tenor of the atmosphere at the February and March hearings is very different. And I think that's a result of our delay, allowing for communication. And I think I remember something in the $80 million concern level that we were costing the city. It went down to something like $29 million. There was a number being thrown around. Now it looks like it's falling somewhere between $173,000 and $685,000 over the course of the five-year permit, which is approximately $400,000 if you did the average over 5 years. We're talking $80,000 a year cost to the city instead of $80 million for that five-year period. So, I mean, I might have my numbers wrong a little bit, but my point is that a lot has changed in the relationship on this issue, and also in the cost estimates due to the two staffs doing a lot of work to figure out what's really going on here. And so I just want to say I appreciate all that work that was so successful.
Okay. I know I said Mr. Schimmick, but actually the city would come first if they want to speak, and I have Mr. Peterson's card, and then we'll get to Mr. Schimmick and Mr. Athey.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your comments. It has indeed been quite an effort, and I would like to start by thanking the staff. I think we've gone a long ways towards transforming the relationship that was in place. Certainly the city has changed the way we approach the issue, and it was about understanding and learning, and there was an awful lot of that that went on. I would like to also like you to know that in the time that you gave us, that you so generously gave us, that we've already begun submitting materials to be in conformance with the new permit. We've continued our performance in the joint effort for hydro modification. We've entered employees to be certified as SWIP practitioners and designers. We've met with representatives of the Monterey Regional Water Board. I think this is really important for us as we began to look inside our organization to determine how best we could manage this program and this process, because it does deserve probably more than it has gotten. So we're reorganizing it so that the reporting process, the beginning of this is that the reporting process comes into the core of our administration in public work, so that it'll get direct attention from me a lot. And also we realize we're not totally satisfied with the permit. We think there's a number of unknowns. We did bring our numbers down. We think those aren't entirely known. But what we really believe that's important about this is that we have built a foundation and created lines of communication. As these issues surface, we know who to call. Jennifer will be calling. We know who to call. We can have the conversations we need to have, make the adjustments that we need to have, because we both share the common goal of remaining in compliance. I would also say that there was a lot of conversation about trash. We understand the importance of it, and we need to rethink that. I think it's important to understand that we do not own the reclamation ditch. It is Monterey County, and when we access it for cleaning or whatever we do to begin to work with trash, we have to also deal with them, so there's another party. We don't always find them as responsive as we would like, but we need to change the nature of that relationship as well. But we do understand we've got a lot of work to do around trash. Again, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to extend this time to get to a place where what we have now is far more meaningful and useful, and also again to thank staff. It's been quite a conversation, and I'm sure there'll be many more. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Schimmick, and then Mr. Athey.
Good afternoon, everyone. Steve Schimmick, Monterey Coast Keeper in the Otter Project. I don't think I've said today thank you for your service. You guys do great. First of all, I mean, I'm going to, in some ways, apologize. In February, I stood up here and I said, I want this permit passed. I want it passed now. And I basically pounded on the podium and I said, let's get to it. The time between the city of Salinas and staff has been well spent. And we have a better permit. And we have a permit that the city of Salinas understands better and is willing to make their best efforts, I trust, to implement. And staff has done a great job in explaining it to them. We are at a better place than we were in February. I One of the unresolved issues is the reclamation ditch and monitoring and cleanup of the reclamation ditch. I would suggest to you that there are three responsible parties. There are the ag dischargers, and in my opinion, they've stepped up to the plate, and they're doing their own monitoring. And now we have an ag order, and they are taking responsibility for their discharges. In addition, we have the city of Salinas, and I'm hopeful that they will step up. And then finally, we have Monterey County Water Resources Agency, who is the owner, operator, and in fee owner of the great portions of the ditch. And they need to step up as well and be responsible for probably part of the monitoring as well, I would suggest.
I wish I had known that when we had Kathleen Thomasberg up here.
Yeah. So I simply want to end by saying that this is a permit that I am maybe not perfectly happy with, but it is a good permit, and everyone is standing up here, I hope, essentially saluting the flag and saying, let's get moving towards implementation. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Athey.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young, members of the board. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Permit Participants Group. Monterey Regional appreciates the opportunity to review and provide comment on the draft municipal stormwater permit for the city of Salinas. While we recognize that the provisions in the Salinas Phase 1 permit do not apply within our jurisdictions, we are submitting this letter out of concern that this permit may be precedent-setting for future Central Coast Water Board actions related to hydro modification controls through the joint effort process. Upon initial review of the draft permit, Monterey Regional has some concerns about Section J, parcel scale development, in provision J.2.C.I.2 of the order, Ministerial Projects, found on pages 56 and 57. It states that the permittee shall require all applicable projects which do not require discretionary approvals to adhere to the version of the Salinas Stormwater Development Standards current at the time project application for approval is complete. According to Section 21083 of the Public Resources Code, local agencies may attach a condition of approval or mitigation measure to a discretionary project. However, they do not have the legal authority to add conditions of approval or mitigation measures to ministerial projects as being suggested in the order. Applicability of post-construction controls should not include ministerial projects actions. Ministerial actions are not subject to the California Environmental Quality Control Act. Quality Act. The stormwater controls being required in this order would require the permittee, City of Salinas, to exercise personal judgment on ministerial applications projects as to the manner in which the post-construction stormwater management controls will be designed and carried out. The exercise of judgment for stormwater conditions or type of mitigation measures would be necessary by staff due to the unique character and physical conditions of every development site. Such exercise of judgment cannot be made in relation to the ministerial actions. Therefore, Monterey Regional provides the following recommendations. Remove all applicability and references to ministerial projects or actions from the sections of the order that apply to development projects, including the provisions cited above. Add the State of California Public Resources Code definitions for the terms discretionary and ministerial to this order in Attachment B, definitions per state definitions. The Monterey Regional Stormwater Permit, I'm going to thank you, for the opportunity to comment, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Hunter?
Are your comments submitted in writing? Just wondering, because they're so specific.
No.
Okay.
They wanted me to read these comments into the record today.
Okay. Got it.
And did you discuss them with staff beforehand?
So I had not had the opportunity.
Okay. Go ahead.
And what agency are you reading that for?
I'm reading this for the Monterey Regional Stormwater Permit Group, which is the members are City of Pacific Grove, City of Monterey, City of Sand City, City of Seaside, City of Delray Oaks, City of Marina, County of Monterey, and the City of Carmel by the Sea.
Okay.
You thought he was on our staff, didn't you?
No, I knew we lost
him. You got confused.
I'm here as a favor. It's our brother, sister agency to our technical advisory committee for hydro modification that Slo County is involved with.
So, Mr. Athey, you were able to get the currents from all of those cities, but you couldn't give us a phone call and let us know what the language change was.
I'm here to read the comment. as a favor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's it with public comment. I don't have any more cards for this item. It's back to the board.
Move
the staff. Does staff have any comments to make after what they've heard?
Move approval.
I would like to hear staff response to Mr. Athey's comments and requests.
Certainly, we can do that. So we looked at the terminology in that section very closely and had it reviewed by both our legal staff as well as others. So the requirement or the area of the permit that he's talking about is the area where it basically defines which projects have to apply to the new requirements or the old requirements, depending on how far along they are in the process. So when you change regulations, you have to define, okay, so which projects get to fall into the old rules because they're far enough along. So that's the purpose of the section. And our understanding, and we understand that the definition of a ministerial permit means that the entity isn't making personal judgment and making discretion and making decisions. However, even with a ministerial action, someone has to follow the rules. I mean, they have to follow the building codes, plumbing codes. I mean, they don't just get to do whatever they want. They have to follow the rules. And so our understanding is that the city will have things codified and set up such that that will happen for this ministerial approval, that they will follow the rules. And it's only going to be for the projects that trigger the stormwater development requirements anyways. The majority of those will likely have discretionary approvals along the way anyhow. But there might be a couple that don't, and that's what this is to address.
Okay, and so when I was looking through this, through the changes, one of the things that I did see was that the future growth area was kind of defined as a special consideration. So can you clarify how this issue relates to how the future growth area will be considered under new rules, and how that's defined in the order? Because to me that was my big concern.
Sure. The purpose of that is we've, for the interim before the joint effort criteria are adopted, have specific requirements for the future growth area projects go through the planning process during the next couple months. And so the specific language in here about future growth area projects is to just address that interim period and to point out during the planning process in the next couple months, if a project comes through the pipeline in the future growth area, we had to point out what point in the planning process would we apply these criteria to those projects.
Okay, so the last question I have is, if Mr. Athey's points about this specific language, I think the concern I heard was that there could be some repercussions, maybe it's a word to use here, for the joint effort process. And with the way that this is phrased here, that there could be then some effort to leave some kind of fuzzy language for the joint effort to kind of, you know, flow towards. Is that what he said? Is that what I heard him say?
I heard him say potentially precedent set
setting.
Of precedents, but
yeah.
I know the phase two permit is being redrafted at the state level. I don't know if he was specifically referring to that process or our region's joint
David,
effort
process. David, why don't
process.
You come up and just clarify that so we're not speculating as to what you said or meant.
And he's just the messenger, is that right?
Shoot it. Shoot the messenger. I think Roger did that already.
I was smiling.
I am. That's all I can do at this point. Ministerial projects, building permit for a house, changing a water heater. You can only really require what's in your municipal code. And so I think what I'm hearing today is that staff has recognized that whatever development requirements that any city has to put, has to make a applicant perform, has to be in the municipal code. And as long as their staff is aware of that and is willing to let the cities go through that ordinance process, passing an ordinance, I think that would work. I mean, in this case, I think from the cities, all the cities out there point of view, and I can't speak for them, but from my experience is that we just need the time to pass the ordinance, educate our constituents and the decision makers on it.
Okay, that helps me a great deal. I understand now what you're trying to convey. And so, Jennifer, can you help us understand how the joint effort is proceeding with the idea that each of the entities is going to be developing, have a time frame in which to develop those ordinances? And the benefit might be that, you know, they only have to hire one consultant to do kind of template language and things along those lines.
And before she answers that, could I just interrupt? Mr. Peterson, I think, wanted to inject something into this.
Just a piece of clarification. This piece of language, which is unique to our permit, was specifically designed as an interim step before the hydro modification efforts took place. Once those go into effect, this piece essentially goes away, and it gave us an opportunity to work with the future growth area who is potentially has projects that are pending, although we'd be surprised to see any. But this was a way to get to work with them, make sure that they met compliance, and prevented us from rewriting all of our guidelines. As soon as the joint hydro effort comes online, then everything will move into compliance with that, and this issue will be resolved.
Hold on. We've got staff, and then Mr. Delgado, then Mr. Johnson.
I just had a question for Gary. When I didn't want to sit down and come back up.
You had the same question?
I have a question for Gary.
Okay. Jennifer, were you going to respond to Dr. Hunter?
Dr. Hunter, certainly. The joint effort, I think one of the forefront things in their mind is that I think they have a great understanding of all the steps the cities need to do in order to get everything in order to do it. In fact, part of the steps that the cities that are participating in the joint effort have been doing over the past couple years while they've been waiting for the results of the technical review is going through all their codes and ordinances, and they've even had webinars to help them understand, figure out the gaps, what needs to change, you know, all those kind of things. So I think your concern is very much on the forefront of that effort, and they are taking that into consideration deeply.
Okay. So, Mr. Delgado, you're saying you don't want to ask Mr. Peterson something?
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just didn't want him to sit down and have him come back up.
Okay. So he'll sit there. Mr. Johnston?
I was just going to suggest we move for approval, and on the question that was raised by this last second letter.
Yeah.
That it's a legal question. We let council take a look at it later, and if they need to come back with us and propose we change something, which I doubt, or if it has bearing on the joint effort, which I doubt, then we take that up later. I don't.
Second.
What? There's a motion.
Oh.
And a second.
Yes, I was moving that we adopt.
Yeah.
And that we simply refer the letter that we received. I don't think we should just blow off what seven of the cities in Monterey County said. We refer that to legal. If there is, in fact, it came to us at the 11th and a half hour, so I don't think we should delay our process.
Right.
But I don't think we should ignore it. We refer it to legal. If there's an issue that needs to come back to us or that needs to be referred to the joint effort folks, that happens. I kind of doubt that's going to happen.
We can look at it. We didn't actually... Just a small technical point. We haven't received a letter. So if they'd like to send it to us, we'd be happy to look at it.
Bingo.
Okay. Any other questions down here? I have a motion and a second.
Then move for the fourth time.
You're ready to vote. Okay. All those.
I had a question for Gary.
It, Okay.
This is discussion of the motion.
It better be good and it better be short.
It's only going to take about 90 minutes.
Go ahead.
Gary, you're not expecting to change any ordinances, right, in the next several months before the joint effort is?
No, not before the joint effort. That was the arrangement that we made. Once the joint effort goes into effect, we're just having a sidebar discussion about what we need to bring to council and change the ordinances.
Okay. So is your understanding that what the public represented, our messenger represented, was that you may be on shaky legal ground if it were to come to trying to implement this and somebody challenged it?
No.
No, you think you'd be on solid legal ground?
Yeah, we do. And we vetted this conversation a lot.
Okay.
This was a big topic of conversation, and we think we're in the right place.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Then I would like to suggest a small modification to the motion that our messenger brought up, and that is just adding the words discretionary and ministerial to our Appendix B definitions.
Well, you'll have to ask the maker of the motion if you would.
So to approve the adoption with a couple of word additions to Appendix B definitions.
So if I understand, Mr. Delgado, what you're proposing to do is to add the definitions from the California Government Code?
Public Resources Code.
Right.
Public Resources Code, the definitions for ministerial
and discretionary,
To our list of definitions. Does staff have any problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard to know without looking at what those definitions are.
Oh.
Yeah.
I still think you like.
No, I don't think I accept the amendment.
Okay. All right. Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody.